Product management is hard, but it's even harder when you work in a silo. Great products won't go anywhere without great marketing. And that's what Brian and I discuss on today's episode of Lessons in Product Management. Brian Yam is the head of marketing at Paragon, and we both agree that product development as well as product launches will be much more successful once product and marketing tear down our silos and start proactively working together. This is Lessons in Product Management. Let's get started. Hey, Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, John, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited for this discussion. I haven't told you this before, but I got my master's in marketing. And so I have a love for marketing, but I'm in product. And so having these type of discussions are pretty fun for me.
Yeah, I definitely won't take anything personally from this.
Cool. So for the listeners, before we dive in, could you give a brief introduction of yourself and what you do at Paragon?
Yeah, definitely. So right now I'm the head of marketing at Paragon. We enable B2B SaaS companies to ship native integrations for their users significantly quicker and with minimal to no development resources. But I started my career in pharmaceuticals, as I mentioned to you earlier. And one of the challenges I faced there was just not having any impact or control on the product, right? You, from a marketing perspective, you were handed, quote unquote, handed a product to try and sell. And, you know, if there were competitors who came up with a more innovative medicine, you were kind of just stuck still trying to sell your product head on. Whereas, you know, it was a space where everything's data driven for the most part. So if your product is inferior, you're kind of stuck and you're just trying to milk the rest of what you can. And that was something that was very hard for me to, you know, deal with, especially because these are patient lives we're talking about, right? So leaving that, I got into, you know, startups over, you know, the past few years. And it's been really fun just to work a lot more closely with product, but also, you know, reshifting my view of what is more important, which is, I think, how this whole conversation came out. So, yeah, that's kind of just my career in a nutshell.
Yeah, so for those of you listening, Brian and I got connected because he had this really good post on LinkedIn where he was basically saying like the best go-to-market strategy in the world can't solve the challenges of a bad product, but the best product in the world without a robust go-to-market strategy can't gain traction. And then he put a poll up to see, you know, which is more important. And I'm looking at it right now and it looks pretty much like a 50-50 split, which I think is what you were seeing too, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think I've seen any polls that close in terms of split. And I, you know, I try not to make it clickbaity, but it's been really cool. I just wish more people would share their perspectives. And that's why I also really enjoy the fact that we're having this conversation, because I think you can definitely argue for both sides, right? There's a very strong argument. And yeah, obviously, I'm a little in favor of the marketing side, but I also have a big passion of like the importance of a strong product behind marketing.
Totally. So I'd like to start here, right? So you mentioned coming from pharma to now in like the software space and B2B, there's a lot more collaboration between product and marketing. Mm. And I want to start there because I think that's key. And I think that's still something that's not done often enough or done well enough in a lot of companies. So could you talk through like what you've seen work well in that collaboration across departments?
Yeah, I think just an openness to have discussions, right? I think that's the first thing is any company that where teams are acting in silos, in my opinion, is not going to succeed because there's so much insight that just gets lost. There's a lot of ideas that get lost. And for example, even if marketing brings up an idea that might not make sense from a product perspective, at least there is a safe space for there to be that conversation because there are opportunities where, you know, learnings from marketing can be shared with product or product has insights that marketing can take and leverage in their marketing messaging, right? And so I think silos are just like the biggest pitfall for a lot of companies. So I think, yeah, just creating a space and opportunity for these cross-functional teams to discuss together, maybe on a monthly basis, you know, or you know, bi-weekly basis even, I think that's very important. And I think that spans beyond just this conversation in general. I think that's very important. But yeah, where it hasn't worked well, I think, is when I see companies that they, you know, have a great product, right? We're not going to deny that the product's great, but especially the ones that solve, you know, have a lot of different features, I see that's where there's a huge gap because the market is not necessarily ready for all those features. A user can only has the capacity to really comprehend a new product that they've never come across before, right? And so I think when product is like, no, we are the best, you know, all-in-one solution for 20 different features, and they're like, marketing, go do your thing. I see that to fail, because marketing is like, well, I don't know, first of all, who is the specific user? Well, then there's like 10 users, right? 10 different ICPs that marketing has to try to juggle. And so I think having alignment in terms of prioritization in not only the product features, but also who it's primarily focused for and who's most likely to get in the door, I think that is where I see a lot of companies struggle. And it's not so much admitting that you're not designed for the other nine. It's just saying, who's the one that we start with, right? And we prioritize. And I think there's often just a handoff that happens, right? Like, here's the product, go ahead and do your thing. But like I said, you know, you only have one onboarding experience for the most part, right? And so how do you prioritize which features or which value adds you start with? I think that's should be informed partially from marketing as well, just because there's so many insights of like what messaging is resonating, right? What are the pain points that most people are engaging with? I think that's very valuable to share back.
Totally. And when I talk to product people, I typically boil it down to product strategy, right? Like, strategy implies that you're saying yes to something specific and you're saying no to everything else, mm-hmm. right? And I've seen that problem too, where somebody tries to be a catch-all and you have those old adages of, you know, if you try to serve everyone, you'll serve no one. But I want to bring it into like the practical aspects of marketing, right? If you have 10 personas or 10 different types of customers that you're trying to solve for with 10 different problems, mm-hmm. like in my mind, it would seem like your marketing budget is going to be spread so thin trying to like talk to and reach so many different groups. Like, have you seen that be the case whenever products try to take like a really broad approach to like, hey, let's build all these features for everyone?
Oh, definitely. I've seen that been a constant challenge, even with, you know, just two or three, right? Especially when you're earlier stage startup where your funding is not, you know, you don't have funding or your marketing budget isn't that great. I still think that eventually you want to test, right? Especially if you're pre-product market fit and like real product market fit where, you know, you're overwhelmed with volume. You do have to test, but I think it's really important to be critical and have that conversation again between product and marketing to say, let's list out all our ICPs. Let's list out all the, you know, features that we have for these different users, and then almost like rank them based on the intensity of the problem you're solving for each user and the frequency. I think those two factors are very telling, because for certain, you know, if you're solving a pain point that comes up once a month versus one that someone's dealing with every single day, right? I think there's a case to be made that the person that's you solve the problem for every single day is going to feel the pain point that you're going to be communicating, right? And then similarly, right, if a problem that's like, oh yeah, you know, I waste like an extra 3 minutes a day versus no, this is a huge blocker for me to be successful in my job. Again, that's like the intensity aspect. I think going through that exercise will naturally help the team come up with, okay, here's like a prioritized list of who we think that our product solves the largest and most frequent challenge for. And then that's where we start, right? In terms of running experiments. And then you say, okay, with our budget, let's pick two, for example, maybe that's all we can handle. Pick two ICPs and test, right? And then you can kind of go down and continue experimenting that way. But yeah, going at all 10, you might as well not because let's say you have $100, right? And it's either you wait for 10x the amount of time to get any meaningful data to learn from, or you have like intense, almost like sprints, right? Where you can learn very quickly and iterate.
No, for sure. And I like how you mentioned prioritization, right? Because like in product circles, we talk about there's like the Moscow method, the Rice method. And I'd love to hear more. I don't know if you've been able to do this with product teams you work with in the past, but like, how can marketing come in and help product make those prioritization decisions? In my mind, like I usually ask our product marketers for like a TAM analysis or something along those lines to help out. But what are some other areas that you think marketing could help product in prioritizing?
Yeah, definitely. It's a question I'll turn back to you later. I think in terms of
okay.
you know, where do you draw the bounds for the product strategy? Because there are certain things where it's like, no, that's not our vision, right? I mean, every product team should have also, I think, their vision of the need and how uniquely their product will solve it. And so just making sure that marketing knows what those bounds are, I think, is important. But again, I'm a big fan of data. That's like my thing. And I used to be an analyst. So just how can we take the insights from our experiments, right? And feed that into product, for example, again, messaging, what's resonating. But second of all, also just evaluating the market. So one thing that product marketers do is, you know, they make like look at competitors. What are how are competitors positioning themselves? What's their messaging, right? What are the types of customers they're serving, and what are their features? Like, try to really understand the like competitor products, I think, is very important. And I'm not sure how involved different product teams get in that process, but from a marketing perspective, that's something I care about tremendously. Like, I actually go and try out competitor products to really understand, okay, like, we have to admit where we're going to lose. And that's fine. Like you said, you can't say yes to everything, right? So once you've identified, like, okay, here's like all the feature sets that we're kind of up against, and just rank, like, just say, be completely honest, like, here's where we're losing. Here's where we think we're winning. Are we okay with losing on these fronts if it means we can really kill it with these other features? And the answer could be yes or no, right? But I think those insights are very important, because if you've decided that, for example, user experience is where you're going to out-compete significantly, you might lose out on certain other things, and that's fine, right? But as long as there's an intentionality behind it and being aware of like where in the market you're playing, I think those insights can be very valuable for product. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because I'm writing a product management book right now, and it's all about assumptions that we shouldn't make. And one of the chapters is, never assume that your competitors are correct. And one of the arguments I make is that, you know, just because they have the feature doesn't mean they're actually solving a real problem that's marketable or sellable, right? It may just be some executive's pet feature that they said you have to build. And so, like, where I would love to partner, and what I love to do, is to figure out, like, is there sentiment? Like, can we gain sentiment, whether it's quantitatively or qualitatively, or some third-party research, or however we can acquire it, that tells us what about our competitor's product is resonating with their customer base, and where are there gaps in their product that we could eventually step in and be like, hey, we fill those gaps, or we can reframe the problem more correctly so we can actually differentiate along the lines of how we solve the problem that our competitor's trying to solve and maybe falling short of. And so that, like, I try to take that kind of approach and lens on, like, looking at what competitors are doing and how customers of our competitors are responding to it. Churn rate, if you can get that data from competitors, is a good indicator of whether or not there's problems. So I try to, by whatever means legally possible, try to find that kind of information.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing that's helped us a lot at Paragon, at least, is we've actually had a lot of customers or prospects come to us who are either actively evaluating us against our competitors, or have, you know, just decided they were using the competitor and they said, you know what, it's been not a great experience, let's try you out. And that's been very valuable for us, and also for our closed loss, right? You know, if you're in the sales cycle and you lose customers and prospects to competitors, understanding exactly why, I think that insight is also very valuable. And that's more of a sales, I think, sales data and sales information. But again, you know, product sales and marketing should all work pretty closely together in that sense. But yeah, that's been very useful for us, just to understand, okay, every time someone comes, is evaluating both, here's where they say, you know, Paragon is much better. Here's where they said, okay, maybe Paragon lacks a little bit, right? And understanding that and owning that, I think, is pretty important.
Yeah, and to kind of circle back around to your question of, like, where, because I originally asked around prioritization, how we can work better together across departments on that. And I'd be curious, when you say experiments, like, to be able to test maybe those one or two things we prioritized and we said we're trying to test to see which one we really focus and hone in on, what are some of the experiments that you think of from, like, a marketing perspective that product should be collaborating with marketing on?
That's a good question. So beyond like, you know, prioritizing which pain points to try and test out and see what resonates with, I think also just, especially for maybe product-led companies, I think that's also where it gets more blurred, because you marketing should care about the follow through, right? Not just like sign up, great, like product, that's all, you know, that's on you. It's more so, okay, what are the types of people that are signing up, right? What are their firmographics, demographics? What roles are they in? And then on, and then for marketing, it's very valuable to also understand, right? What are the usage metrics, retention for those different segments, such that we can then be informed, okay, we're maybe getting a lot of seemingly qualified leads, right, from a specific segment, but product can say, no, but these, you know, in terms of an engagement perspective, like that's actually not who we think is the most valuable for us. And I think, again, like breaking down those silos of understanding, like across the entire journey, who is the focus, because just because, you know, we get a lot of leads from one specific job title, for example, right, doesn't mean that they're actually the best, you know, user or the group that we solve the biggest challenge for. And so I think it's important for product to feed that information back to marketing and say, hey, from a marketing perspective, it may seem that, you know, this segment is the priority and like that's where we're finding product market fit. But until you really like dive into the product data as well and can share that back from marketing, I think that's also often overlooked, because you're always thinking down funnel, right? So once it's past your stage of the funnel, it's like hands off, you know, I've done my job, I've hit my MQL goals for the month. So I think it's very important to constantly question the data as well. Always question, like you said, the assumptions that you're making and whether or not, you know, you need to dig more into the insights.
Totally. No, I love you mentioned like retention and usage metrics, right? Because typically in my mind, like I think a usage metrics is like a product thing. Right. But if you identified, like let's say product and marketing collaborated, we came up with some very visceral pains and we quantified the impact of these pains, right? It's not like you'd wasted 3 minutes of your life, but it's like actually causing you problems. And then you went out and you tested something, right? You shipped something to market. And you see people coming in, they match the ideal customer profile that you've outlined, and then they're churning, right? That leads to the questions of, okay, is there misalignment between the message and what they're getting in the product? Or is the product just not complete? Are there issues of like, they're expecting things that they see as table stakes that we don't have? Or like, what is the actual core issue that we need to go and solve now? And you know that the answer to that could go one of a million different ways, but I think having that collaboration between product and marketing and looking at the same data and looking kind of top to bottom of funnel and everywhere in between, it enables you to have the same language and the same data to have those conversations and figure out, okay, what can we hypothesize as the problem? How do we go test against it? And how can we get some feedback to try to validate that?
Yeah. Definitely. And I think marketing is a perception game, right? We're really just managing perception is what we're doing at the end of the day. We can, you know, I can get as many signups as I want by saying, hey, get $1 million if you sign up, right? And then you hit the product and it's, well, obviously there's a misalignment. So like you said, it can go in a bunch of different ways, but being able to analyze data at each step, and then also not just quantitative data, but also like qualitative, like what is on the landing page, right? What's on the signup page? Are we misleading them to expect something and we hand them something else? Or for example, a company that has 10 features, what if we got them in with one of the features, but the first experience they get when they sign up is one of the other features? Then there's a clear disconnect, right? And so again, yeah, I mean, not to keep going at it, but that alignment is very important.
For sure. And I kind of want to go back to your post a little bit. I know we're jumping around, so I hope it's not too jarring for the audience. But the whole question of like to go to market or not to go to market, that is the question. You know, how do you, I mentioned this before we started recording, but like how do you avoid waiting too long to go to market with a product? Let's say it's buggy, it's not complete, but you're a startup, right? You only have so much runway before you mm-hmm. run out of money or like you lose the market, you lose first mover's advantage or any mm-hmm. of those things that you're trying to mitigate against. From your perspective in marketing, like if the product doesn't feel ready and the product, like the product manager's like, I don't think we're there, or you don't think we're there, and we're trying to, and product management's trying to push to market. How do you balance that? And maybe what are some things that you feel are really important to consider before, you know, taking a product to market and developing a go-to-market strategy around it?
Yeah. So I've generally worked with companies either before they launch or shortly after. And so I've never been in a position to say like, let's not launch. I don't think I've been in that early stage yet. So that would be an interesting experience on its own. But my perspective on that would be getting to market as soon as possible, like feasibly, obviously it has to work, right? The product has to work to some extent. Yeah. But I think the earlier you can get to market, the earlier you can get feedback, right? And I think that feedback is very important, especially because, again, it's so easy for us to get sucked into our vision of the product, our perception of this problem that we're solving. And the longer we kind of stay in that, the easier it is to, I think, miss out on opportunities to learn from, you know, whether or not our perception is the right perception, or sorry, if our perception is the market's perception, right? And I think it's really important to try to get out there. And, you know, you can do things like beta launches, right? You can get users on, like, it's, you don't have to always do a full launch. And recently I was reading, like, you know, large companies, you don't hear them launching. It's a constant process. There's no single launch and that's it, right? You could be launching multiple times a week. And so as long as obviously the product works and is able to solve the problem that you've intended it to solve, plus or minus some bugs here and there, I think try to launch, right? You can learn so much from users. The early adopters will be usually very open to giving feedback, as long as, again, you present it that way, right? It's all about managing expectations. So if you're saying we're a perfect product, feature complete, and you launch and it's, you know, like a beta and there's a lot of issues, then there's a problem there. But if you're saying, hey, you know, we're looking for people who are willing to try it out, give us feedback, I think that's the best way to iterate early on versus, you know, going too far in one direction and realizing, you know, you might have taken it the wrong way. And also, if the product is buggy but people are still using it, that also indicates that, okay, the problem you're solving is very real, right? That people are willing to keep using it despite the challenges that, you know, they may have experienced in your product. So that could be pretty interesting to see as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you went the direction of beta launches, because that's kind of where my head goes, is if there's still a risk that you feel, you know, we don't want to have a press release, paid ads, and like the whole nine yards going after like customer acquisition. Mm-hmm. What's that in between step? And I've seen customer development programs or early adopter programs, beta launches, things like that work really well, to where you have people who the problem is real. They want a chance to alleviate the pain they're feeling, but they have the proper expectations set that, hey, this is early. You know, we're going to be iterating through this, and they kind of know what they're signing up for before you get kind of out in the ether and people are expecting something that doesn't align with what reality is.
Yeah. And it's also exciting for some of those users, because they also feel like they're involved in the roadmap, right? And so one of the things that I've done quite a few case studies with our customers, and they keep saying, we love, you know, sharing ideas that we have for the product. And some of them get implemented, and that it's really exciting for them to see it, because, you know, normally when you're working with a startup, you inherently understand there's a level of risk, right? They are, you know, like, it's not the same, like, you don't get fired for implementing Salesforce, right? Like, everyone trusts Salesforce, they know it's reliable. But when you're the one saying, we're going to onboard an earlier stage company to solve a solution, you understand there's a level of risk. And so with that, you can be considered maybe an early adopter, right? And so I think for them, it's just exciting to be part of the journey. And people are more than willing to give feedback, especially if they think it can help solve their problem even better, right? So... yeah,
and I've really enjoyed this conversation. And to wrap up, you have an audience of a lot of product managers and product leaders right now. So from your position as head of marketing, what's one piece of advice you would want us product people to walk away with in terms of how we could collaborate more effectively with marketing or enable you to be able to do your job better?
Yeah, I think I've, you know, mentioned it probably way too many times already, but just communicate, just keep communicating, over communicate, you know, even when you're in product brainstorming sessions and, you know, product discovery, involve marketing. And I think what's important is not just the intention, but building a structure. So like building in a recurring calendar invite. It's easy for us to say, yeah, we, you know, we'll communicate, but everyone gets busy, things get lost. And then suddenly it's like, hey, we have a new feature. Can you, you know, prep that launch? And by then everything, it's too late. You've already missed the opportunity for like true like pivots or, you know, just like better ideas to come about. And so, yeah, communicate early, communicate as much as you can, and learn from each other, because everyone has like, unique perspectives. And I think when you put those together, you can come up with an ideal product. Yeah.
I think that's great advice. We've been incorporating our product marketing manager in a lot of our early meetings, so they know well in advance of what's coming and can give their feedback and their perspective on things and be a part of the process from beginning to end. And I've seen it. It's only been happening for a couple months now, but I've seen it already paying dividends.
That's great. Yeah, every team should always break down the silos.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, thanks for coming on, man. I know it was kind of an interesting way we connected. I really appreciate the post and the opportunity to get to connect with you one-on-one. And thanks for the willingness to come in and share with the audience.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this conversation, John. Thanks for having me on.